At this time, we're going to be entering into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And I invite you to open your Bible and to join me as we journey through God's Word. We will be heading eventually to Exodus chapter 20 today, but there are other passages we'll be looking at, and you can see those on the back of the Going Deeper sheet inside of your worship folders, as we will be returning today to our teaching over the spiritual disciplines, the holy habits and faith practices, particularly the one that we've been discussing and we discussed for a couple weeks now, called Sabbath rest. And 2 weeks ago, we were in that endeavor to finally just really know what precisely this discipline is and what it is not. And we're going to continue today because we understand that Sabbath rest is critical and essential to our life and our holistic well-being, in that it's been a couple of weeks. It's important for us to do a little bit of recapping. And so if we could bear together to do a little bit of recapping to understand where it is we are today to where we're going to be going this afternoon as we go into God's Word. First and foremost, we've learned that we are created for the need of rest, that we were created with a rhythm that was needed of work and rest in our life. We were made by God that to need, not just to labor and to have purpose, but we were made by God to rest in this life. And so God, knowing good and well that we needed this, gave us a great gift known as Sabbath rest. Something that Jesus proclaims is a gift that God gives to us by saying in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Understanding that it is a great gift that he has given us, not that he's made us to be in this obligation to have Sabbath rest, but that he has made us with a need for rest, so he has provided us a means and a way for rest, a rest that doesn't just rejuvenate our physical bodies, but nurtures our very souls, which is the purpose of Sabbath and the gift that God has given us. And it's important to remember in this that it's not an obligation. We are not in some begrudging obligation to do this. It is a gift that's given to us. Sabbath is not meant to be a burden or a strict set of rules to follow. It's not about legalism or adhering to rigid traditions that create stress. To make Sabbath an obligation is to turn it into a burden. To treat Sabbath like this is to miss the point of the joyous gift that it is. And you may ask, well, isn't it part of the Big Ten? And I know we've addressed this several weeks now. Yes, it is. Which you may think that makes it obligatory, doesn't it? There was one writer who wrote, keeping of the Sabbath was a sign of the covenant between Israel and the Lord. You must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come. Exodus 31:13. As Israel kept the Sabbath set apart, they were reminded that they were also being set apart. So you may know that I am the Lord that who makes you holy. Verse 13. Believers today being under the new covenant are not bound to keep the sign of the old covenant, meaning it's not obligated of us. However, just because something's not obligated doesn't mean there's not benefit in it. It doesn't mean that there's still not blessedness found within its practice. And yes, it may no longer be obligated, but it is a necessary part of our holistic well-being. We need this. Furthermore, why God has given us this gift, and that is what Sabbath rest is. It is a gift given to all of humanity. It's a gift for our benefit. It is an invitation to pause and to reflect on God's goodness, to enjoy his presence and enjoy the gift of life that he has given us and the fruits of our labor. Understanding Sabbath rest, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, is an actual day of rest, but not a day of nothing. It's a day of something, not just anything, though, as we'll discuss more today. In contrast, learning what this practice of Sabbath rest is not and what it is, it's not a day of productivity, but truly a day of rest. It is an invitation out of the world, its burdens, and the sinful system in which we find ourselves stuck in. It is an invitation out of the muck and the mire to glimpse at and to enjoy a foretaste of eternity here and now. Because we know where our ultimate rest comes from and who it is in, and it is in Jesus Christ. He is our rest. And Sabbath rest, as we will learn today, is a period of time where we get to truly turn our eyes upon Jesus. And as that classical hymn says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Giving us an ability to live out that glorious promise that we started our day of worship together out with, our call to worship from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sabbath rest here and now in this life allows us to experience this, allows us to live this out, enables us to lay down the burdens of this world and to live in light of the death and resurrection, in the great anticipation of the resurrection to come upon his second coming, where we will truly enter into that ultimate eternal Sabbath rest that Jesus came to bring to us, reclaiming all that hell had stolen from us in Eden, to be able to take up residency in the presence of God as individuals and as a community, that we practice, we prepare for that eternity to come each and every week, together with our gathering. We intentionally take off the burdens of this world and fill our day with activities that draw us more and more into the presence of God and practice the presence of God in our lives here and now, knowing good and well it is a foretaste of what is coming, as we see in Revelation 21, 3 through 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Understanding this, allowing us to understand clearly that Sabbath is not a day of productivity. Sabbath is not a day that God gives us to catch up on our work-related tasks or chores and activities that further drain us. This is to miss the point of the Sabbath entirely. Sabbath rest is not for our honey-do list. To make it this is to destroy the beautiful gift that it is for us. With all this being said and recapped, we now turn to Exodus chapter 20. As we continue to discover what the Sabbath truly is and what it is not, particularly in how the law, the Ten Commandments, passed down by God to Moses to the people of Israel, explains this to us in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Something that truly just flies into the face of what we as humanity would consider our number one commodity that we have possession of. It's why we always start conversations with, when I started a conversation earlier with George, it's like, can I steal you for just a minute? Can I have a moment of your time? Do you have a few minutes to talk? Because this commodity that's so precious to us is time. And through the school of hard knocks, I have learned that time is indeed this, especially over the past year working on my dissertation. I found that I never had time. It never seemed like there was enough time rushing from task to task, duty to duty, as a husband and father of a growing family and a pastor of another blessed growing family, a doctoral student, a friend and mentor to some, and a mentee to others, needing time to work, needing time to play, needing time to spend with the Lord, needing time to prepare sermons and give spiritual counsel, and needing time to love and care for my family, and needing time to play Catan with my son Lucas. Yeah. Quite frankly, it all takes a great deal of time, and there never seems to be quite enough. Have you ever felt like that? There's not enough time? I don't think I'm alone in saying that sometimes it feels like there's no time to be had, because we are all only given a set amount of time. And according to most studies, on average, 79 years, 984 months, 28,854 days, 692,496 minutes, give or take some or several. The point is that we are on borrowed time given to us by the Lord. And there is only so much of that time to be had. We must never lose sight of the reality of our mortality on this side of eternity. But if we're not careful, this can cause us to feel rushed. As one commentator explains best, we often feel rushed. We never seem to have time for work and leisure, for family and ministry. So we complain, if only I had one extra day this week, then I could get all my work done. Or we say, you know, I could really use some time off. Or, if only I had more time to study the Bible and serve the Lord. In these and many other ways, we grumble about being overtired and overworked. It is all part of the frustration of living as finite creatures in a fallen world. Something that should make us all feel something very important. If we were willing to admit it, that deep down inside, we look at how this world is governed and we have to see that there's something wrong. Something's not right with this. Something is not right with the limited time, and you would be correct, because God did not create us to be limited by time. He created us to enjoy Him forever in eternity in that wonderful garden as His prized creation. And we may feel deep down inside that there's something not right, and that's true. There is something that's not right. We live in a fallen world of sin, which caused us to fall away from God's perfect rest that He created on the seventh day of creation. A day, as we stated weeks ago, unlike the other days of creation, never ended, as we see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. And there's no phrase that we see after every other day, and then there was evening and day. There's no conclusion to this day. It is a day that goes on, for God's rest, our rest in Him, is something that we will have for eternity, living in perfect harmony with Him for eternity. But that was something that was robbed away from us due to our sin. However, God's great and tremendous mercy, He provided us a wonderful remedy and a means of remembering that this is not how it will always be with the hustle and bustle of life. And begging for just a bit more time. Can I just have a bit more time? He gives us one whole day of seven to rest in His grace and to practice eternity to come, giving us a rhythm of work and rest to continually discover the grace of being with Him and in His presence, allowing us to set aside all that hustle and bustle of this world and spend that precious time growing in our relationship with him as it will be for all time to come. In Exodus 20, it is here that God lays out for us the foundation of all this. He shows us in these short four verses how, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, and why we should do it. We begin first by addressing what it is God is inviting us to take part of through this blessed gift of true rest in him, which is found in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God first tells us to remember, just like the Israelites needed to remember, we too need to remember the true nature of what God has given us weekly. This is because we, just like Israel, are prone to lose sight of the great and wonderful work of God in our lives. We can lose sight so easily of the work that Christ has done in his creation and our redemption. And when we fail to remember this, we fail to praise him for it, which inevitably leads us to praise something else or someone else who is completely unworthy, understanding that it is him who is the author and giver of our life. We begin to look elsewhere for provision. We begin to look at the things of earth to find our purpose, like our work, and we prevent ourselves from actually acknowledging it's God. Sabbath rest is a gift to reorient, to redirect our lives to God, to focus our lives and focus our eyes upon Jesus, to prevent us from falling into the trap, and to remind ourselves what God has created us for and how. God's word to his people reminds us to give him glory and for his grace. He calls us to remember him and what he has done, understanding that this isn't simply to call it to mind. Remembering here to the people of Israel and even to the early church, the church was to actually actively remember, to actively participate in your remembering. It was an action you would do. You wouldn't just think, oh yeah, yeah, that's nice, that's good, God did that. No, it was to relive it. Hence, what we do every month when we take of communion together as a family of families. We do that because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And we don't just recall it by reading about it. We actually live it out. We try to practice and participate in that supper together with the Lord. Because it's about actively remembering, putting ourselves there in that place. And so when it comes to the Sabbath, he says to remember it. Remember, actively participate and celebrate it. Don't just treat it as head knowledge. It needs to be something that you live. I saw one writer who once compared this to how we celebrate anniversaries. To all the men out there, I don't think we would stay married very long if we woke up on our anniversary day and said, oh yeah, I remember it's our anniversary. Good day. And then we moved on. You know, something like anniversaries require, you know, some romance. Maybe some special time together, flowers, or even jewelry. You know, it's more than just saying, oh yeah, I remember it's our anniversary. No, it is. It's our anniversary. Let's celebrate. We actively remember that day that God brings us together as one, as we should actively remember what it is that God has done for us and what God has gifted to us. Remembering the Sabbath day means showing our love for God by giving him the day, giving it over to him and finding rest and fulfillment in him. And this is part of how we keep it holy, which is the other part of what we are to do. We are to keep it holy. And what this means is the Sabbath day is not a day of nothing. It's a day of something, but not just anything. It is a day for the Lord, for us to be in his presence and to seek and find rest and fulfillment in him. It is holy as it is a day of worship to the Lord that we honor and praise his name. We set it apart, which is what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart. We sanctify it, so we set apart it that day for a purpose. We don't just set it apart to set apart. No, we set apart for a purpose of drawing closer to the Lord. How do we do this, though? How is this done week in and week out? God explains how we start to do this in verses 9 through 10. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. We literally give the day to the Lord and its activities, not just ourselves, but for our whole households, not just our whole households, but also all of our land, all of our produce, all of our animals. And this is just radical too, because even for them who had servants, we give it to our servants, because all of creation is meant to rest, to be in the presence of God, to enjoy the presence of God, and to remember what it is God has done, continues to do, and will yet do. It is essential to state that it's not also just a work issue here. So many people today will think work is part of the curse of sin, and that could not be further from the truth, because we were created to work. We were given a gift of work, as Genesis 2:15 shows us. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We were created with a great purpose and an excellent purpose. And in this, we were also created for a wondrous existence of a healthy rhythm of work and rest. To rest in the presence of God, the whole of creation to rest in the presence of God. However, this is something that's been stolen away from us due to the curse of sin. And we find ourselves trying to find time. Yet God, in his great mercy, has provided us a way to do just this with him as intended, living out our God-intended purpose. We all glimpse at what it will be like on that distant day on those eternal shores, as Sabbath is a day of worship. Keeping a day holy and sanctified, we sanctify it by worshiping our God. We give our lives over entirely and find rest and joy in him, in our worship and celebration of him, and his great mercy and provision, as Sabbath rest is a day to honor the Lord. It also provides us with the opportunity to gather with fellow believers and praise the Lord, and engage in spiritual practices such as prayer and the reading of Scripture together as a community, which we were made to do. Life's journey is too dangerous and challenging for us to go it alone, which is why God didn't just call one of us. He called each and every one of us to come together as a family, his family, to support and to encourage one another, because we were made for one another. To keep the Sabbath holy means to dedicate the day to rest from regular work and to focus on spiritual matters, worship, and family. It is a time to cease daily labor, allowing ourselves to recharge physically, mentally, and spiritually in the presence of God and one another, refraining from the usual daily grind, as the Sabbath is not a day of nothing. It is a day of something, but not just anything. It is a day of engaging in activities that draw us closer to God, such as prayer, Bible study, fellowship, all the spiritual disciplines that we have been discussing that are essential to our relationships in our lives with each other and with Christ. Living out and seeking to practice these holy habits and faith practices, to plant them further into our lives. Ultimately, we should understand that Sabbath rest is a gift given to us for just this. And it was made for us as a gift, not us for it. A practice that finds complete fulfillment in Jesus, as Jesus is our rest. Just as he is the door for eternity, where we will find rest in him forever. And this helps us begin to capture why. Why do we do this? Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In short, this is how God intended things to be. And it is our window, our foretaste, our preview of the eternity to come when we put our hope and trust in Him, in Jesus. The Sabbath is a day for worship, a day for mercy, and a day for rest. It is a day not of nothing, but a day of something, but just not anything. It is a day for God and you. Something that John Mark Comer just perfectly captures in his book, Practicing the Way, when he retells the story of an encounter between an 18th century priest and an elder peasant who would sit alone for long hours in quiet of the church. When the priest asked what he was doing, the old man simply replied, "I look at him, he looks at me, and we are happy." That's meaningful rest, if you ask me. Rest that's a source of joy and renewal, not just in our physical bodies, but in the depths of our very souls. A time when we experience God's presence and grace in full. Do you want that kind of intimacy of God in your life? This is why God gave us Sabbath rest. It's so we could experience that level of deep intimacy with Him, that you could look and behold Him in all of His glory and splendor, and He, you, and you just to be in joy of that, to be happy together with God, to be blessed by Him, approved by Him, which in our loud and noisy society is not easy to do. It's so easy today to pervert the Sabbath, to make it into a thing that it was never meant to be. Just like we're tempted to turn it into a day of extra productivity, we can quickly turn it into a day full of distractions, which is not what the Sabbath is intended to be. The Sabbath is not a time to The Sabbath is a time to let go and let God. It is not about doing nothing, and we are to do something. However, it is not an opportunity to do anything. We must guard our time carefully so not to be pulled away from being able to rest in the presence of God. Therefore, we must avoid the temptation of filling this God-given time with mindless activities like doom scrolling on Facebook or being notified and asked by Facebook or by Netflix if you're still there. I'm telling you, it always asks me, "Are you still there?" And I'm like, "Of course I'm still here. Why else is it on?" It's not for that. Understanding how the other disciplines are part of Sabbath rest as it provides us the place and the space to grow in a life of discipline by cultivating them and planting them more in our lives. Thereby, we should ruthlessly avoid activities that lead us to stress and anxiety. So often, we choose the opposite in life. We allow the busyness of our world. We allow the busyness of our schedule to take precedence over finding true rest in God. This is something that we have found is foundational for our family's rhythm of work and rest. It's putting our screens down for a day and simply being a family together with one another and with Jesus. It allows us to be intentional in our activities, attitudes, and actions so that we can honor God and allow proper rest and recharge. I'm telling you, there was something about that. Whenever we started doing that, you know, Jeanette suggested it, the kids started playing together. I got to watch Obadiah sit on the ground playing with Legos and just enjoying being creative for a whole day, something that we didn't get to see very often. And it's been critical to allow space for us all to cultivate peace and to focus on what truly matters. And there'll be more about this next week as we begin laying out the practical applications of adopting this spiritual discipline, holy habit, and faith practice known as Sabbath. However, for now, I don't want to leave you with nothing. Intentionality matters. Having a plan is key. If you don't plan for it, it won't happen because something's going to grab your attention. Something's going to take you away from this precious time of rest that God has given. You have to be intentional about it, and you have to ruthlessly guard it. You next need to find a way to disconnect from the world, to reconnect with the Lord, to truly spend time looking at him and looking at you and being happy. Just to be in the presence, to have that intimacy of God, and to grow and engage in that intimacy, which is the final thing I would like to leave you with today, is engage in activities that restore your mind, body, and soul. Practice the disciplines. Focus your life fully on Christ. This is how we begin to remember, by actively living out a rhythm of work and rest in our lives and keeping a time in our week throughout our weeks set apart to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to get a glimpse and a foretaste of eternity here on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. How is it that God will help you take one more step to live in the rest that he has given you today and the rest of the days to come?